sure what Daniel Gunderson is trying to say about our next guest, Clay Jenkinson, with that bumper music, but let us welcome in Mr. Clay Jenkinson, our usual Monday guest in this time slot on the Mike McFeely Show. Hello, Clay Jenkinson. How is your wonderful Monday going?
It's great. It's a windy, beautiful day, an early fall day in Bismarck. I'm great, happy to be talking with you.
What am I trying to say? And I'm happy to be talking with you as well, Clay. Just a couple of minutes here. I want to get your quick take in just about 3 minutes or so. But Bruce Furness, the one of the candidates for chancellor of the North Dakota higher education system, pulled his name out of the ring last week, Clay. I'm sad to see that happen because he did provide, as Joel Heitkamp said, sort of the private business side, the non-insider view as a possible chancellor. What are your thoughts about Bruce Furness pulling his name out of the consideration for chancellor?
Well, I trust the process, Mike. The state board named Larry Scogan to be the acting chancellor, and then they put out a request for applications for an interim chancellor, and a whole range of people applied. And they winnowed that through looking at their resumes and some interviews down to three. And Furness, for reasons best known to himself, withdrew. And so when you withdraw, you don't leave open the possibility of being chosen. So whatever Joel Heitkamp thinks, or you or I, Mr. Furness has taken himself out of the running, leaving two people. One who's an insider, Larry Scogan, who's, by the way, a friend of mine, and is the president of Bismarck State College and has been serving, I think, admirably as acting chancellor. And then you have Shane Gettle, who was the candidate for the seat that Kevin Kramer won and has also been state commerce director and is a very able guy. So I don't think we can go wrong. But if you're looking for somebody who is not, you know, part of the government educational complex, then you probably have reason to be sorry that Furness pulled out.
Well, and then I asked you specifically because I knew that you were our Larry Scogan's friend, Clay, and so I wanted to get a perspective from you as somebody who knows Mr. Scogan well, and you know the process, you know the players involved far better than I do. But, you know, looking at it from the outside, again, one of the issues I think that many people have, not myself, but many legislators have with the higher education system is that they view it as the elite, egg-headed academics. And not that Larry Scogan's an elite egghead academic. I don't know him, but Bruce Furness to me, from the outside, looked like an option who was not that.
Yeah, I see it in exactly the opposite way. This is really difficult stuff. Running a system of 11 institutions, maintaining national accreditation standards, making sure that the presidents and the alumni foundations of these universities behave in something like a professional way. Making cost efficiencies for the system and holding tuition down for the young people of North Dakota, creating incentives for young people to stay in school. I think you need a consummate professional educator for this job. That doesn't necessarily mean Larry Scogan, but I think that we were on the right track with people like Ham Shirvani. It's just that he turned out to be the wrong person for the state of North Dakota, and I think he had some significant character issues, but I don't think we should go to somebody who is an able outsider personally.
Okay. And Clay, I don't mean to cut you off, but I need to because we're up against a clock here. We can talk more about it after the bottom of the hour. Clay Jenkinson, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show on KFGO.
With IMT 7500.
Final 23 minutes of the Mike McFeely Show here on KFGO have begun. Our phone numbers are 237-5948 or 800-880-5346. Clay Jenkinson, Bismarck, North Dakota, great friend of this program, is our guest, and he's happy to take your phone calls, text messages, and emails. I gave you the phone numbers. You can send us an email at kfgo.studio@kfgo.com or send me a text message to 35270. Please include the word Mike in the text message so I know it is directed at me. Clay, one thing I wanted to touch on with you today was the conservation measure being resurrected in North Dakota. And we all know about the whole mess before with the Ford signatures and the NDSU football team being involved with that and others. But this thing is going to take another crack at it. The supporters of the conservation measure taking a percentage of the oil extraction tax and putting it towards conservation. your thoughts on that and whether or not this stands a chance this time around to go from start to finish as opposed to being aborted midstream.
Well, I was really sorry that the first one failed and collapsed because of some petition scandals and irregularities in the way that the signatures were gathered. And I was part of that. I was on the advisory board for that. I think we need to spend an awful lot of money on conservation. And conservation is not locking things up or protecting things against development. Conservation is offsetting some types of development with new wetlands, you know, protecting wetlands, protecting habitat, protecting the rights and the access of hunters. In other words, this is not like the Sierra Club coming in and saying you should lock up 82% of Western North Dakota. These are really practical, thoughtful, middle-of-the-road compensations for the heavy industrial traffic that's occurring out in the oil fields. And so I'm 100% in favor of it, and I wish that it had succeeded in its first instance, but it didn't. And then the legislature created a much more modest fund, differently organized to a certain degree. And I worry now, Mike, that it'll be very hard politically for the conservation advocates, of which I'm one, broadly conceived, to win approval of this, because I think a lot of people in the state will feel, well, the legislature looked at this and they produced a kind of a modest proposal, and we should let that see its way through. I hope that one of two things will be true, either that the conservation initiative will succeed, because I think we need to spend an awful lot of money on this, or that the legislature will increase its contribution to the existing fund.
To me, this stands a very uphill battle, and I too, Clay, that hope this thing goes through. I was sad to see the previous incarnation of it fail for the reasons we've already outlined, but I think it stands a very uphill battle because there are going to be all kinds of interests, not the least of which the North Dakota Petroleum Council and the oil industry itself, in my view, that are going to be opposed to this. This is going to be an awful lot of money coming against this thing right from the start.
I think you're absolutely right. I've heard some rumblings about that already, but I still think it's a good thing to try. I mean, I think that the people of North Dakota are beginning to wake up a little bit to realize that we have a right to compensate ourselves for the sacrifices that we're making on behalf of this extraordinary oil boom. And if we are willing to compromise and to create a fund which will offset some of the damage, and believe me, there is damage to mountain lion habitat, to mule deer habitat, to antelope habitat, to bighorn sheep habitat, to wetlands for birds. If we are willing to take ourselves seriously that we have engaged in this deep sacrifice for the good of our balance of payments and oil independence, then we should reward ourselves by preserving that in North Dakota that we love most, Mike. And I think that the amount of money that's being talked about is not outrageous. But I do agree with you. It is going to be a very, very difficult political battle.
I still think that some of this was answered, sadly for me, in the previous election, Clay. You know, Ryan Taylor, a guy that I know that you know well and like, and a guy that I know somewhat and like, he was the gubernatorial candidate in 2012 who was talking about, look, we need to kind of step back and look at this whole thing. What are we doing to our state? What are we doing for the long-term future of the western part of the state and other areas of North Dakota when it comes to oil development? And Ryan Taylor, Clay, as you know, was drummed. Jack Dalrymple is a guy who won, what the heck was it, 70% of the vote or some crazy thing against Ryan Taylor. So a big part of me says the public has already spoken, that people just don't care that much, apparently, about what's happening in oil country.
Not yet, and I do agree. I mean, Ryan Taylor is somebody that I greatly respect, but he polled less well in the state of North Dakota than Barack Obama, and that is a sign, Mike. If you do less well than President Obama in the 2012 election, the people of North Dakota have spoken emphatically mm-hmm. that they prefer the existing guy.
No, you're right, and it's, maybe it wasn't so much about messaging as the guy in office, but to me it's... There's no political will. There's nobody politically at all, other than a handful of people in the West, Clay, and people like yourself and people like me. And we're not political. We're media type people, though you have many more duties than that. There's still nobody standing up and saying, just take a look at what's happening. And so much of it still is in the eastern part of the state, I don't know if what's happening out west even resonates, Clay.
I don't think so. I think names like Stanley and Parshall are really just abstractions in your part of the state, and the people in the Red River Valley who have many other things to think about look on the western part of North Dakota as New Zealand or Australia. Mm-hmm. And so I don't expect that to happen. And, you know, if you find fault with Governor Dalrymple, you have to remember that he was emphatically reendorsed by the people of North Dakota. If that's not a mandate for his style of leadership, what is? And I think I'm with Jefferson. You have to bow to the decided will of the people, and the will of the people was unambiguously emphatic that they liked Jack Dalrymple and they weren't going to put another guy in his place.
237-5948 800-880-5346 KFGO.studio at KFGO.com is our email. We're talking with Clay Jenkinson, director of the Dakota Institute, a columnist for the Bismarck Tribune, and a regular guest and sometimes guest host on the Mike McFeely
Show.
Really,
guest host is my favorite thing, but you won't leave town.
Well, yes, I do. I leave town often. I've tried to get you to host this show, and you're always too busy. You're flying off to Seattle or Dallas or Timbuktu.
If you would let me know years in advance.
I let you know like 4 months in advance
well,
last time.
Well, let's not
fight. As I've said before, Clay, there is no other person who has requested more as a guest host on this program than you.
Are you listening, audience? Did you hear that?
There's nobody who's requested. And I agree. It'd be great to have you in, but we just can't ever seem to work
it
out.
No, we will work this out because, you know, this is such fun for me. And I get, here's what I like to talk about, Mike. I like to talk honestly. You know, I've just said that Governor Dalrymple is the overwhelming choice of the people of North Dakota. I don't want to be typecast as a liberal or a conservative or a Democrat or a Republican. I have my own political views, as I know you do. But I believe that what we need is thoughtful analysis and to tell the truth. And I get so tired of talking points. I'll bet you do, too, that mm-hmm. no matter what the subject is, you can expect the Democrats to say X and the Republicans to say Y. And it kind of takes the fun out of the whole business.
Speaking of which, let me read you an email that just came into the studio from one of my largest fans and clearly one of your largest fans as well. It says, this bill/measure should never pass. This is driven by liberal, socialist, tree-hugging, out-of-state groups and their out-of-state lawyers. Boy, there's like seven cliches right in a row. That are circling the wagons, eight, and trying to get their hands on our oil money. We have money and they are after it. Your thoughts?
I think that's absolute 100% nonsense. I'm sure there are some outside groups that are helping to contribute to this cause, as there usually are in any political situation in the country.
Let me interrupt you for a second. As all the oil companies are in the state of North Dakota, they're out-of-state oil companies. But go on, Clay.
But the stakeholders in this, and I know many of them, are North Dakotans. They're hunters. They're farmers. They're people who have paid bills, have run companies. They're not wild-eyed, Birkenstock-wearing environmentalists. These are centrist North Dakotans who think this much, Mike, that we have to compensate ourselves somewhat for the sacrifice, and if the wetlands are going to be damaged in spot X, we should restore wetlands in spot Y. So, in other words, this is not some sort of a radical environmental agenda. You may disagree with doing it, but you shouldn't mischaracterize what's being done.
No, you have it wrong. It's driven by liberal, socialist, tree-hugging out-of-state groups and their out-of-state lawyers.
I have hugged a tree. Have you?
Yeah, I try to as often as I can. I love trees.
I have hugged a tree, but I wouldn't regard myself as a socialist, certainly. Socialists would denounce my kind of petty Kmart capitalism. I'm not even sure I'm a liberal, but I know that I'm not a socialist.
One last question, Clay. I need to let you go because we have some other things to get to.
Sure, you always say that.
Well, sorry, the Lewis and Clark Interpretive Center. What's happening there? I got a message from somebody earlier saying,
yeah,
please
weekend,
ask Clay.
The grand reopening. You know, we've doubled in size. It was already great. Now it's even better. Brand new exhibits, state-of-the-art electronic technology and interaction. It's amazing. 10 a.m. Saturday, the official rededication of the Lewis and Clark Interpretive Center. And then Chuck Suki, the great troubadour, is playing on Saturday. Beverly Everett, the orchestra director from Bismarck, is performing on Sunday. And Cottonwood, a band from North Dakota, is performing. So it's going to be a huge weekend at Fort Mandan near Washburn.
Are you going to have a scanner there to keep out the liberal, socialist, tree-hugging, out-of-state groups?
I know what you look like. And so if you come, you'll be gone.
My hair isn't nearly long enough, nor could it ever be long enough for me to be a liberal socialist tree hugger.
Come hug a tree.
Thank you, Clay. Always good to talk to you.
Bye.
You bet. Clay Jenkinson, Bismarck, North Dakota. Love having him on the program. And